This is the Folk Show at New Hampshire Public Radio.
Down by the seaside, holding Mama's hand, looking for treasures lying in the sand. There in the seaweed, happy as can be, I saw a little starfish, it was looking up at me. I saw a little starfish looking up at me, leaving our footprints with each step we'd take. We'd work our way down to my own favorite place, where beautiful seashells of colors oh so bright lie hiding in the sand for this young boy to find, for this young boy to find. Each day I'd wait for the tide to come in, just never know what those big waves will bring. I walk along the shoreline, bucket in my hand, looking for treasures lying in the sand, looking for treasures lying in the sand. When you put a seashell right up to your ear, the thunderous sound of the surf you'll hear. When pieces of driftwood I washed up on the shore, I bring them home to hang up on my door. Yes, I bring them home to hang up on my door. My bucket is full by the time I go home. Treasures wind up on the shelf in my room. Seashells and starfish, whatever I find, lying in the sand, washed in with the tide. Lying in the sand, washed in with the tide. Each day I wait for the tide to come in. You just never know what those big waves will bring. I walk along the shoreline, bucket in my hand, looking for treasures lying in the sand, looking for treasures lying in the sand.
Singer-songwriter from Kingston, New Hampshire, Rick Lang in our studio here on The Folk Show. A tune from his most recent release called The Undertow, and the name of that tune, Treasures in the Sand, on The Folk Show. Welcome to NHPR, Rick Lang.
So good to be here, Kate, and thanks for inviting me.
You know, you've got an album that's full of songs about one of my favorite places in the whole wide world, and that's the coastline. And I know you live near the coastline, so you selected these tunes kind of in honor of a place that apparently is very dear to you as well. Want to tell us a little bit about your recent album?
Well, like yourself, I do love the seacoast region of New Hampshire, and when I first started getting serious about writing songs, I would write about all sorts of things, some of which I wasn't very familiar with. When I get hooked on bluegrass music, a lot of those songs in the bluegrass repertoire were about living up in the mountains and things like that. So I would try to write songs like the ones I heard and I liked. But then after a while, I realized they didn't sound very genuine. And I began to realize that I'd be better served to try to write about what I know. And so then I said, what do I know? Well, I know a little bit about the ocean and the coastline and the seacoast, which was near and dear to my heart. So I started writing about some of those things. And this particular song, Treasures in the Sand, was one of them. And this song is actually a tribute to... when I was a boy, my mom would take us, my brothers and sister and I, down to the ocean a couple times a week in the summertime. And we would spend the whole day there swimming and getting suns and building sandcastles and looking for seashells and starfish. And that was just a great part of our lives. And So some 40 years later, I was thinking back on that and wrote this song as a tribute to those wonderful times down by the beach there.
Are your beach activities something that your two daughters and your grandchildren enjoy participating in as well?
They do. As a matter of fact, we would take our, we have two daughters who have girls themselves now, and we would take them down to the ocean quite often, right along the Hampshire coastline to Rye Beach or Odeon State Park, places like that. And they too love the ocean and love the seacoast. And so it's been handed down to another generation there.
You're listening to The Folk Show here at New Hampshire Public Radio, and our guest in the studio is Rick Lang. I had never bumped into Rick Lang, even though he's been a part of the New Hampshire music scene for a really long time. And for some reason, our paths have never crossed until we were at a conference in North Carolina, in Raleigh, the IBMA conference. That's International Bluegrass Music Association. And Rick was on a panel, and he said his name as part of the panel, and I said, oh my goodness, I know Rick Lang. He's a musician, and we play his music on The Folk Show. So it was really, really, really wonderful to actually meet Rick Lang in person and then to be able to invite him to come visit us here. So talk to us a little bit about your involvement with the International Bluegrass Music Association.
Well, my wife and I have been going to the IBMA annual business conference since the early 90s. About the same time, I got more involved in bluegrass music and started playing it and performing it and writing it. And the International Bluegrass Music Association seemed like a good thing to be part of. They were out to promote the music. And had a lot of events at their annual conference that were helpful. They were educational, and something I thought I could benefit from. So I started going way back then. And as I get more involved in songwriting over the years, I get to know a few more people who were IBMA members, including some of the artists and some of the other writers. And that led to me being asked to be on the IBMA Songwriter Committee back, it could have been around 2010 or 2011. And I was thrilled because it sounded like a wonderful opportunity to get involved and to give something back to the music. And I've been on that committee ever since then. And a couple of years ago, I was asked to be the chair, so I'm now the chair of the IBMA Songwriter Committee. And a lot of our activities are about networking, creating a sense of community amongst songwriters. And at our annual conference, we had last year a record 10 events and different seminars that offered education and learning about different aspects of the music that would benefit you as a writer. And we had one-on-one mentoring sessions and things like that. So it was very rewarding, and it's fun to be part of, and I hope to be doing it for a long time.
Can you just tell us what the actual mission is of the IBMA? Is it to educate people about bluegrass, or?
The overall mission, I think, is to promote bluegrass, okay. To pay tribute to its heritage and its roots and its beginnings, and to have a place for artists to network, for radio people to network, and for songwriters, promoters, people in different facets of the industry. It's a place where everybody can get together and network, get to know each other, and interact. A lot of bands' careers kicked off by going to the IBMA World of Bluegrass and being introduced to PR people and to promoters, where they get booked for festivals and things like that. And it's an incredible organization that really is just kind of become the center of bluegrass music worldwide.
It's a nonprofit organization, right?
It is nonprofit.
You're listening to The Folk Show here at New Hampshire Public Radio. We're going to take a quick break and come back and visit some more with Kingston, New Hampshire's Rick Lang.
We wake up every day to news alerts that give us glances of the world.
The suspect detonated a bomb inside the
Senate passed
the
spending bill known as the Omnibus on a bipartisan basis.
We say no! NRA has got to
But to understand everything, you need more than just a glimpse. Morning Edition opens your eyes and explains the news, whether it's happening across the street or across the globe. Start your day fully awake. Listen every day.
Support for NHPR comes from you, our listeners, and from J&R Adventures, presenting blues rock guitarist Joe Bonamassa at the Casino Ballroom Friday, April 27th and Saturday, April 28th. Tickets at Ticketmaster.com. And the New Hampshire Business Review Winning Workforce Strategies Forum on May 10th in Manchester. Topics include job training and recruiting options. Tickets at nhbr.com. This is The Folk Show at New Hampshire Public Radio, and our guest in the studio is Rick Lang. Rick, do you have another tune that you can play for us?
Well, this particular song here is about an actual place, Rye Harbor, which is right off Route 1A in the north of Hampton. And Rye Harbor is a beautiful place. If you drive by it, there's a little inlet that comes in, and there's a lot of fishing boats and sail boats that come almost up to the road. And they have a little state park there, and there is a jetty there that you can walk out on the jetty, go quite a bit, pretty far out into the ocean, sit there, and just enjoy the ocean environment and watch the boats come in and out of the harbor. So it's one of my favorite places, and so I decided to write a song about it to paint a picture with the words of what Rye Harbor is, and we'll do it for you right now. Sunrise in Rye Harbor, you can watch a ship set sail. Feel the cool breeze off the water, taste the salty air. Seaweed and bits of swiftwood lie washed up on the shore. When it's clear, you can look out, see the Isles of Shoals. Seagulls hover overhead, you see them everywhere. The song they sing seems to fill the air. Ever since I can remember, this harbor's been my home. The sailor's blood running through me, it's all I've ever known. Daddy used to take me with him, showed me how to knot a rope, set the sail, adjust the rigging, chart a course up and down the coast. There's nothing like the freedom of the open sea. No other place on earth I'd rather be. Sunsets in Rye Harbor, and another day. When you look out at the horizon, it will take your breath away. A beacon from the Noble Lighthouse will guide the boats to shore. The fishermen will take their catch,
make their way back home. The evening tide rolls in to slowly wash away every trace it left from yesterday. Every trace it left from yesterday. From yesterday.
Rye Harbor, the name of that tune from Rick Lang's latest album called The Undertow, on the Folk Show at New Hampshire Public Radio. Rick, I think you like Christmas, don't you?
Oh, I love Christmas. It's a fight between the love of the ocean and love of Christmas. Writing Christmas songs and my love of the Christmas season is just something I couldn't even put into words. It's just a passion inside of me.
You've been nominated and won awards for your Christmas song writing, haven't you?
I have. And what's really interesting is that I've only recorded, I think, 5 studio albums to date. 2 of them are Christmas albums. I think that's rare. And I think, again, going back to my childhood, the love of Christmas and what Christmas is all about, and the family Christmas celebrations and all the traditions, those are things we really embraced. And as I get older, I wanted to memorialize it in songs. So I ended up starting to write Christmas songs maybe a little over 20 years ago. And I would find little snippets of things I remembered that I said, this has to be in a song. So I would write a song here, a song there, and ended up building a catalog of Christmas songs so I could record my first one, The Season of My Heart, back in 2001.
Which was voted one of the top 25.
Well, yeah, one of the top 25 folk albums of the year. Go figure. I was just thrilled that people today come up to me and tell me that they play some of those songs in the playlist every year.
Yeah.
Yikes.
So you're part of a lot of folks' traditions.
Isn't
that great?
Yeah. I think it resonates with a lot of people because a lot of the subject matter are things that are universal that kind of resonate with a lot of people.
So I know this is actually April, but what is your favorite all-time Christmas song, whether it's yours or someone else's?
Oh, my gosh.
Just pick one.
I have to pick Let It Snow, Let It Snow, Let It Snow. Those songs, those classic songs from the 30s and 40s, are still my very favorites. And I think that helped inspire and drive me to kind of write new songs of my own, because those are timeless songs. If you think about it, we're in the year 2018, is that right?
Yeah.
Got the right year?
Yeah.
Songs that people wrote and recorded in the 1930s, 40s, and 50s are so beloved by our society that they are played again in the original recordings every single year, enjoyed by new generations of people, the same songs being covered by new artists and new generations of artists every year. That's some of the most timeless music that exists in our society.
I bet people that are running the Boston Marathon tomorrow are not hoping for snow, snow, snow.
That is
true.
That is not very complimentary to running a Boston Marathon, that's for sure.
You want to take an extra pair of socks if you're going to be doing that, because it's not fun to have wet socks in a marathon, as I understand it. Not that I've ever done it.
Yeah.
But the Boston Marathon is near and dear to you. What is your interest in the Boston Marathon?
Well, actually, I had a very interesting experience years ago. I can't remember the actual year, but it was the year they had the 100th running of the Boston Marathon. A friend of mine who I work with at our lumber company does some running, and he was going to run the Boston Marathon. And we had discussions about it because it was the 100th running of the Boston Marathon. And he had a book about the history of the Boston Marathon that he lent me. And I got very immersed in the book, and I was so inspired. I said, you know, I don't know of any Boston Marathon songs. I said, maybe I could write one. So this was in the summer before the 100th running, and I spent the entire summer, it was 3 to 4 months, writing two songs that were I wrote as a tribute to the 100th running of the Boston Marathon. One was called Heartbreak Hill, and one called Running for the Glory. And I wrote songs, and they came out pretty well. So I got some friends of mine to go in the studio and record these, not knowing what I could do with them. So I was very ambitious and had high hopes I could do something with the songs. So I ended up sending them to radio stations. I ended up sending them to TV stations in Boston, saying that I wrote these songs. Is there any way that they could use them in conjunction with the 100th running of the Boston Marathon? Not expecting anything would happen. And one day out of the blue, I get a phone call from Channel 5 in Boston, who thought it was a really cool idea. They loved the song, and they wanted to do an interview with me and get the band together who recorded it and do a music video that they would use on the air when they had the TV coverage of the Boston Marathon. I think I fell on the floor and had to get my inhaler. I was so excited because I didn't think anything like that was possible. But sure enough, they sent their crew up. We found a recording studio in the area, and we did a music video that actually aired on TV.
Well, it's great to have you here on the day before the Boston Marathon. It seems very fitting.
Well, it is good to be here, and it always would be near and dear to my heart, and I was glad that I was able to write something as a tribute.
Yeah.
I'll have to get those songs out there again.
We're going to take a quick break and then come back and hear another one from Rick Lang here at the Folk Show at NHPR.
I listen to NHPR a lot.
Which is why Scott Brown of Franklin is a sustaining member of NHPR's leadership circle.
Trust, dedication, integrity, those are values that I see from top to bottom in NHPR, and we're just proud to be a part of the family.
You, too, can become a part of NHPR's Leadership Circle when you invest $100 a month into the statewide news service you trust. Join the family at nhpr.org/leadershipcircle.
Support for NHPR comes from you, our listeners, and Concord Regional Visiting Nurse Association, providing in-home personal care, companionship, and homemaking services in people's homes, crvna.org. And North Branch Construction, celebrating 60 years in business on time, on budget, online at northbranch.net. I'm Kate McNally, and in the studio with me here at the Folk Show, I have Kingston, New Hampshire's singer-songwriter Rick Lang. Real treat to have Rick here in the studio. His most recent album is called The Undertow. Now, Rick, who helped you out with this album? Meaning other musicians. You had a crew with you that you're kind of used to working with.
I did. This particular album was kind of the most unique one I've ever done. As far as the songwriting goes, I wrote most of the songs by myself, although I had on three of the songs, I had co-writers. Rich Schlexer wrote a song with me, and then Ted DeMille from Maine wrote a song. Ted's great. Great songwriter. And as far as the musicians and the singers in on the album, I incorporated, there's a total of 17 people on this record. And all of them are either people that I have either written with or performed with or recorded with in the last 30 years. So all my musical friends, and I wanted to get everybody on this one to be part of it. And it includes, the core group of Dave Dick, who plays a banjo and guitar, and Bob Dick, the producer, who plays bass, and Roger Williams, one of the world's greatest dobro players.
He used to be in the New England Bluegrass Band, right?
Yeah, right? he is in that. And also he plays with Amy Gallen.
Oh, yeah, and Stillwater.
And Stillwaters. Mm-hmm. And he's part of the core group. And then Karen Lincoln Wilbur is a singer who's been on all my albums and sang a whole bunch of my song demos. And then Amy Gallen appears on there and sings two of the songs on there. And quite a few other musicians who were part of that whole group of the Worcester Kingston music bluegrass scene.
How about another tune?
Sure. Well, we'll do the title cut from the record, the Undertow. In writing songs for this project, some of them are about places, and this particular one is an analogy between the undertow of the ocean, and anybody who's experienced it knows how powerful a force that is, and the turmoil in a relationship. And I just found it was really good subject matter for a song and an analogy worth writing about. And this turned out to be the title cut. I probably wrote this about 22 years ago. And it's it hasn't changed at all in the last 22 years. They say love is like the open sea, where waters run wide and they run deep. Well-kept secrets and her mysteries, no one will ever know. Beneath the waves out on the ocean floor, troubled waters where the current's strong. If you're not careful, your heart might get caught there in the undertow. I've been drifting on the sea of love, fading fast, barely holding on. My last real hope is almost gone, but that's how the story goes. Trying hard to keep this love alive, only time will tell if we'll survive. I'm sinking fast, down and down I go, caught in the undertow. Waves of heartache keep on rolling in. I'm wondering if I sink or will I swim. Throw me a lifeline and pull me in safely to the shore. Now once again my heart is on the line. Come tomorrow, will you still be mine? Is there a chance or am I wasting time? I need to know for sure. I've been drifting on the sea of love, fading fast, barely holding on. My last real hope is almost gone, but that's how the story goes. Trying hard to keep this love alive, only time will tell if we'll survive. I'm sinking fast, down and down I go, caught in the undertow. In the undertow, caught in the undertow.
The ocean is such a powerful force, isn't it?
It sure is.
The undertow from Rick Lang here on the Folk Show at New Hampshire Public Radio. You know, it's no wonder to me that someone would have an album full of songs about the seacoast. What a lovely area it is.
We're blessed to live in one of the nicest places in the country, and the ocean and the seacoast has its own environment. And you've got to be out there and engage your senses and listen to the sounds of the seagulls overhead and feel the ocean, the breeze off the ocean, refresh you and smell the ocean smells and the seaweed and everything. And It's just one of the most therapeutic places I know.
And it's so magnificent year-round. My favorite time probably to go is, well, I love it when there's sun and warmth, but also in the winter. It is a totally different season for the ocean, isn't it?
It's beautiful. Mm-hmm. It's beautiful year-round. Yeah. Not good for swimming and and getting a tan year-round, perhaps,
yeah.
but the beauty is 365 days a year.
Now that you have this one under your belt, do you have any thoughts about what else you might put on another album? Do you have just a big cache of songs that you could be recording at any moment?
Well, one thing that's really interesting about my songwriting that I was unaware of, but it was sort of happening, is this particular album is a concept album. It's an ocean theme album where the core of all the songs have some connection to the ocean. I had been writing some of these songs for years, not realizing that I was writing towards a concept album. And then one day I realized I had this whole stash of songs that had some connection to the ocean, and I followed through with it. Well, we started recording this in 2011, and it's taken like 6 years to get this album completed. Well, during that amount of time, I have been thinking about what I'm going to do after this one, and I realized I had this really strong catalog of story songs, and some of which are about places and events that happened in New England over the years that are just fascinating drama stories that would really interest people that I've written about. And so I've been working towards recording a collection of those, which I'm actually going to do this winter. It's going to be entitled A Tale to Tell, Story Songs from the Pen of Rick Lang. And there's some really cool stories, one of which actually happened right near where we're sitting here in Concord, New Hampshire, a story that happened back in the late 40s. The title of it is They Sought Up a Storm. And it's about a group of women who I'll tell you a little bit about it. There was a hurricane back in 1938, and mm-hmm. that particular hurricane was one of the worst in our history. It knocked down millions and millions of feet of timber in the region here, and the government, we're just kind of recovering from a bad economic time. Engaged a salvage operation to salvage all this timber and to do something to help the economy. So they built sawmills around and gave incentives to loggers to take all this timber and bring it to sawmills and have it sawn into lumber and sell for economic value. One of the sawmills was located in Turkey Pond, right outside of Concord, New Hampshire. And the mill was operating every day, sawing lots of this down timber, and creating a good economy. But then the war broke out, and the mill had to shut down, and this whole salvage effort ended. And this was kind of a historic, great thing. A group of women from the state of New Hampshire came to Concord and talked to the powers to be and said, we want to go ahead and run that mill to keep the mill running and keep this effort going. And at that time, it seemed like something you wouldn't pursue. People thought that they couldn't be serious. How could these women run a sawmill? Well, a lot of them worked on farms, and they were totally up to the task, and they get approval. So these 13 women went to that mill at Turkey Pond, started up the mill, sawed millions of feet of timber with just, you know, horses and oxen and pulleys, and saved the day and kept the mill running. Uh-huh. And a friend of mine met the granddaughter of one of these women and found out about the story and wrote a book about it called They Sought Up a Storm. Uh-huh. And I read this book and talked to my friend, and I said, listen, I need to write a song about this. So I wrote a song called They Sought Up a Storm, which is all about this great regional heroic story that happened right in our backyard here.
After you produce that album, you want to come back and do that song for us?
I would love to.
That would be great. This is the Folk Show at New Hampshire Public Radio. What are you going to play next, Rick?
I'll do a song I wrote with Rich Slexer, who is one of my favorite co-writers. We wrote together called Widow's Walk, which is about anybody who lives in New England, seacoast, knows what a widow's walk is. And they were used years and years ago. And for a woman who would stand up on their rooftops to look for their husbands or their lovers who are out at sea on ships until they came back. And we wrote the song together about it. There's an old abandoned house down on the Gloucester shore, where they say the widow Hawkins died 1924. The wife of a sailor whose ship was lost at sea, caught out in the wildest storm this port had ever seen. On a cold October morning, they kiss her last goodbye. She handed him her picture, keep there at his side. Her young voice was trembling as she spoke these parting words. Each night I'll light a lantern and watch for your return. She stands upon the widow's walk, her eyes turned toward the east, looking for her lover's ship out on the rolling sea. Her heart grows more heavy as each day passes by, and the wind blows off the water to the seagull's mournful cry. Then one night without warning came the howling winds and rain. His helpless ship was swallowed up by the mighty waves. As she held out the lantern, tears welled in her eyes. Hopes were growing dimmer, her sailor was alive. She stands upon the widow's walk, her eyes turned towards the east, looking for her lover's ship out on the rolling sea. Her heart grows more heavy as each day passes by, and the wind blows off the water to the seagull's mournful cry. She found a bottle washed up in the sand. Inside there was a note written by her true love's hand. He said, my ship is sinking, I'll see you nevermore, until we meet in heaven on God's golden shore. She stands upon the widow's walk, her eyes turned towards the east, looking for her lover's ship out on the rolling sea. Her heart grows more heavy as each day passes by, and the wind blows off the water with the seagull's mournful cry. And the wind blows off the water to the seagull's mournful cry.
That's Widow's Walk from Rick Lang and his The Undertow album here on The Folk Show at New Hampshire Public Radio. We'll have more with Rick in just a moment.
NHPR's Leadership Circle is a community of listeners who place a high value on intelligent and independent radio. I'm Sarah Alger, Director of Major Gifts at NHPR. As a Leadership Circle sustaining member, your $100 a month investment helps NHPR create and deliver the award-winning news you trust and the outstanding programs you love. If you've been looking to deepen your commitment to the station that's an essential part of your life and your community, join us at nhpr.org/leadershipcircle.
Support for NHPR comes from you, our listeners, and from Milne Travel, an all-tour company celebrating 43 years of helping businesses succeed and enabling travelers to explore new destinations. MilneTravel.com. A New Hampshire School Administrators Association, educational leaders recruiting individuals to serve children and communities. Job information online at edjobsnh.com. Rick Lang is our guest here in the studio at New Hampshire Public Radio on The Folk Show. Rick is a freelance writer for the Bluegrass Unlimited magazine. He also conducts workshops in the New England area for songwriting. And he's also on the IBMA Songwriter Committee. IBMA stands for International Bluegrass Music Association. And he's a mentor in the IBMA Songwriter Mentor Program. And I was wondering, Rick, who mentored you in your songwriting?
Wow, that is a question of the day. Actually, I didn't have a mentor. And one of the reasons why I wanted to get involved helping others is basically because I didn't have anybody to help me when I started. I mean, it was like 30 to 35 years ago. I did not know any other songwriters, either in the area or outside the area. And I just had to kind of wing it on my own. And I had all these questions, and I needed a lot of help. And my progress was very, very slow because I didn't have anyone else to guide me or help me or give me some tips. And I went through the first, you know, almost, you know, 15 or 20 years like that, left my own demise, so to speak. and I think eventually I started running into some people who could help me. It was a writer, one of my favorite bluegrass songwriters is a man by the name of Randall Hilton. And Randall passed away a few years ago, and he wrote a lot of what are now bluegrass classic songs by some of my favorite bands. And although I had never met him, I corresponded by letters. I called him up one day and said, would you listen to some of my songs and give me some tips and some guidance? And he was such a really good man. He would listen to my tapes of songs, which were not very good. Matter of fact, they could compete for the worst beginning songs by any writer ever. And he would be very kind and suggest ideas of how I can make them better, and encouraged me and inspired me to keep working at it. And he was really became a mentor to me, and he kind of encouraged me and got me on the right track in learning how to improve to become a better writer. But he was the only one, and I think my involvement with the IBMA, teaching workshops, and trying to give something back is really based on my past. I really would like to help others, and because to offer the kind of help I couldn't get early on because I just didn't know anybody who could help me. And through the IBMA and our songwriter committee and our mentoring program, we were able to kind of help young writers connect with people who are looking for someone to help them. So it's very rewarding.
I just want to say I just love the cover of your album, The Undertow. Where did you get this beautiful, beautiful picture of what looks like it could be the Nubble Lighthouse? Is that what that is?
It is a Nubble Lighthouse.
Stunning. It's a stunning photo.
And one thing about my albums, I've chosen not to have myself put on the cover of my albums. I would rather kind of try to capture a scene or a picture of something that kind of encapsulates what the album's all about. So for the Ocean Theme album, it took so long to record it. I had a long time to think about the CD cover artwork, and I would look for pictures or images that I could use. And I did for 3 or 4 years, and I never found anything that really knocked my socks off. So, but I'm very persistent and never gave up. And one day, about a year ago, I was looking on Google at some pictures, and I ran across this image that just wowed me. And it was of the Nubba Lighthouse, and it looked like a painting. It didn't look like it could be really a real-life photograph, because it was a picture at sunrise one day, and the sky was orange colored, and the coloring in the visual was just so stunning. It just was the most beautiful picture I'd ever seen of the ocean. So I tracked it down and found out it was taken by a photographer by the name of Andy Cook, who has a company called Rocky Mountain Reflections in Colorado. And I tracked him down, got his phone number, and I called him up one day and told him that I was getting ready to work on artwork for my new ocean theme album. And is there any chance that I could use that beautiful picture of the Nubba Lighthouse? Mm-hmm. And he was pretty excited about the fact that it was going to be on a you know, CD cover, and made arrangements for me to get the photo and put it on there. And I think that really kind of visually tells about what the whole album is about. It's just stunning, and I just feel very fortunate to be able to use that image.
Rick Lang, thank you so much for coming by the Folk Show today.
Well, it's been a pleasure. I really appreciate the invitation and get a chance to talk to your listening audience. Mm-hmm. Hi, folks, and tell you a little bit about my songwriting and some of the songs off the Undertow here. And it's just been a joyful day for me.
We sure do hope you'll come back.
I would love to anytime.
What are you going to finish up with today?
Well, this last song here is a song from the Undertow record called The Rising Tide. And I'll have to give you just a little background about it. I started working on planning for this album back in 2006. And The Rising Tide was a song that was in the works to record for the album. But I had an original version of the song that really didn't hit the mark. And I had recorded a demo of it, and it really didn't say what I wanted to say, and I wasn't very happy with it. And so I put it on the back burner and kind of gave up on it. And we went to start recording this album in 2011, and for various reasons realized it was going to take a few years to record it all because of people's availability to be on here. So after the first couple of years, I took a look at the Rising Tide title and said, you know, if the album's going to take a long time to record, maybe I can rewrite the song. So I tried for months to come up with another version of it and wasn't able to. So about 3 years ago, I get up one morning, went up into my studio, grabbed a cup of coffee, and it was just an unbelievable experience. This new version of the song in its entirety poured out of me. It was like a gift from the heavens. And it said everything I wanted to say the way I wanted to say it. With the only thing I reused was the title. All the lyrics and the melody and the chord progression and everything is all brand new, and it just sort of happened. And I just am so thankful that it was like a gift given to me to be on the record, because It did say everything I wanted to say in the song, the way I was hoping to say it. And we'll do it right now. It's called The Rising Tide. As I look out across the bay, sun comes up to greet the day, serenaded by the waves, the tide comes rushing in. The wooden boats in front of me keep rising higher on the sea, up out of danger's reach, set sail once again. As I sit here and pass the time,
this old saying comes to mind. A rising tide or lifts all boats, big or small helps keep them afloat. High off the floor of the deep blue sea. So pull up anchor, hoist the sail, take the wheel and be on your way. Wind in your hair, sun in your eyes. Sail off on the rising tide. Look around and you will find some folks are like the rising tide. Those who lift our spirits high when we're feeling low, spreading kindness here and there, showing others that they care, and what they have they're sure to share with those who need it more. Young and old, heed the call, rise up one and all. The rising tide lifts all boats, big or small helps keep them afloat. High off the floor of the deep blue sea, every man, woman, boy, and girl make a difference in this world. Standing arm in arm and side by side, together we can be the rising tide. The rising tide.
The Rising Tide from the Undertow album from Rick Lang here on The Folk Show at New Hampshire Public Radio. Thanks to Rick Lang for stopping by today.
Thank you, Kate.
This is NHPR.